You know, faith is some things that we don't even recognize what it's all about. Faith is when we say that, when we say amen, when we say amen, that is faith. Because when you say amen, you agree with God. And it takes faith to agree with God. And not only that, it takes more faith than what we can ever come up with. More than we can ever accomplish. Faith is a work that we just don't understand. And the reason we don't understand it is because faith is something there that you can use it, and you can have faith in so many different things. You can have faith in God. You can have faith in the church. You can have faith in the people. You can also have faith in the law. You can have faith in going out here to the bar. Faith is a substance. And all of that is substance. But, you know, what we need to do, we need to explain out what faith is all about. What the faith that we put our trust in and what we believe in. And that is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for me and what he's done for you. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer. How many of you have God ever blessed? Did you know that he blessed you? If you know that, that took faith to believe what you had asked God to do. Because, see, you had to do something for God before God turned around and done something for you. For me to be able to do something, I don't know how to do it. I may not know how to do it, how to go about it, what I need, or anything. That's when I go to God, and I say, God, I love you. I want you to teach me what I need to do. Teach me in the things that I need to say. Teach me in the things that I need to gather up. And I need to accomplish. Teach me these things. And see, when he teaches me them things, then I can go out and I can share with other people. Now, the good part of it, I like to see everybody get saved that I go and talk to. But we know, that just don't happen. Not this day and time, anyway. Maybe it did back in the 20s and the 30s. Maybe the 40s, but not now. Not now. I mean, they don't even know they don't even know what salvation means. They don't even know what being a Christian is all about. They don't know anything about the church, what the church should mean to them. The church should mean to them like it is a, which it is, it's a holy place. Because Moses said, called the Holy Grail. Like Brother Vaughn. And the first time I seen him do it, afterwards I said, Brother Vaughn, I said, why did you do that? I said, I know it's got to be something biblical behind it. Because we're living under grace. He said, well, I learned long ago when I read the Bible, what's in the Bible is true. You have to stick with the Bible. And he said, every now and then I'll get a book and I'll just start reading it. And every time I'll be just thinking about it. I'm standing on holy ground. It don't make no difference. He said, it don't make no difference where I'm at. If I'm at home, if I'm at the mall, if I'm driving by all over the field, it doesn't make no difference. Where I stand and where I sit, I'm on holy ground. Because the reason it's holy is because God is holy. And if God is holy, and you are holy, and you're saved and everything, God's going to be with you, right? So, that means He's right there with you. He's going to be with you. He's going to take care of you. He done took care of this church. I've never seen how the Lord has worked here. But I trust Him. And I know He's done it. Because we're but a few people. And with the few people that we have, I'm not going to say that each and every one of us do everything right. We don't. We cannot do everything in a day, 24 hours a day, right. Well, God won't be concerned about it. Because, see, He is concerned about it. That's the reason He give us the faith. Through the Holy Spirit. That's what first got faith was. We got faith from the Holy Spirit. Because He took faith in the Holy Spirit to lead us to the Lord Jesus. And then He took that same faith to trust Jesus for our salvation. And for our everyday life. Then it took faith for us to really trust in God. And it really took faith. Think about that. It really took faith for us to trust in something that we cannot see. We'll put more faith in it. Main Street Bridge, Daniel. We've seen that bridge. We know who built the bridge. We know who looks after it. But we put more faith in them and in that concrete and everything. We put more faith in that than we do God. You said, oh, preacher, I don't believe that. Let me say it this way. When you leave your home and you have to go across the bridge, Main Street Bridge, go up Main Street or wherever, but you've got to get across the river. When you pull up to that entrance to that bridge, before you drive on the bridge, Do you get out of your automobile and look up under that bridge? See if the pillars are all intact? See if any of them has decayed and rotten? No. We put more faith in that than we do God. Because we don't wait on God. We don't ask God to help us with things. We just automatically know that God's going to be there. But sometimes God's not there. I know that. And I have felt it. And when God's not there, oh man, you're talking about lonely. You're lonely. The last 2 or 3 weeks, what I've been going through with my legs and everything, it seemed like it getting worse and worse. I thought about everything. And I said, God, you know that I love you. You know God knows that church I have to grow. You know God, there's people in that community that has lost. Lord, you know it's people like you. I need to go and see and visit. And Father, and they don't understand why I don't come. I can tell them I'm legs are weak. They don't care about me. They care about you. I'm surprised that they can't do about their sins. We just moved in this very bad one. And we ain't had no preaching yet from by. I thought maybe the preacher's dead faith right down the road with somebody. She hasn't been alive. That hurts me. It makes me so sad to the bones. It hurts me in a way that I don't understand why I'm going through the thing that I'm going through. But then I get to thinking about Job. Why did Job go through the things he went through? Nobody knows. I think it was a lack of faith. That's what mine is. Mine's a lack of faith. And believing that God can touch your leg. Yeah, I can say I know God can touch his leg. And I know God can bring back the strength to it, and they won't be weak no more. And I know also God can heal Brother Bill, heal his back, heal his legs, to where we can start going out and visiting people and getting people in the house of God. And the only solution I have to that is that God is saying, I just want to see how much you can take. I want to see how much you can take. If you can take enough, and then you still want to do what you've asked me, and you told me you want to do, I mean, I'm going to tell you one thing. That Job's man, it took a whole lot of Job's part after he had lost everything he ever had except for his wife. It's like he lost his house. The house was burned down. And he had boils from his head to his toes. Now, can you imagine? Why? Can you imagine your husband walking around and they got their disease. And they have that upon them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine yourself even just having a half of the balls that Joe had? you know what I'm saying, and having two boys, because they irritate me. And you know, if my body was covered with them, you talking about irritating, it would be irritating. But what did Job do? Did Job complain? No, he didn't complain. The scripture don't say it did. And the scripture don't say it did, I don't believe Job did. But what did he do? Him and his wife had went up there, they had built a fire. Probably did eat some food, heat the food up and everything where they could eat. Some hot food. Then after they got that, got the hot food in into the body. Then his wife, it doesn't say, but his wife probably went over there and got some water that they had. And was gonna come and toss it on the fire. To put the fire. Because the fire would unite so much heat. But Job said, nay. Not him now, but I believe that's what he said, nay. He's going to still trust God. So then what did he do? He went there. And his wife was right there at the fire. And he waited till the fire went out. And the wood and the sticks and all the other things that was there on the fire had, the animals had gotten so red, they just about turned blue. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine in hurting so bad and your body is going through so much pain and so much agony that you are willing to take your body and put it on your coals where that fire was at? You think your coals then went down and all of it is real warm now. No. I don't believe that. I believe them coals were just as hot as it was when the fire was blazing. See, old chap. Then his wife, she got so lucky. She got so low and so beside herself, she didn't know what to do. That's like us. When we go against everything that Satan wants us to believe, and everything that we've had in the past, we have to stop and think about what's going to happen. And we have to stop and think about the Lord Jesus and what he has accomplished that at Calvary. But see, he accomplished so much that at Calvary. We don't comprehend it. We don't understand it. And really come down to the place about it, we really don't want to understand it. Because we couldn't take it. Just think about it. It is your wife. Well, I'm going to take my wife. She keeps out. She keeps it spotless. Cleans the neat off the floor just about. She does all the laundry. She makes sure the dishes are clean. She makes sure that the clothes are washed and clean. She makes sure that my shirts are ironed. She makes sure that my suit, if it don't need to, if it look okay, she'll just take them and kind of press over them just a little bit. But if not, then she'll take them to the laundry. I mean, to the clean room and everything. They'll clean them. All the things that she does for me, she did. And she has never first, and I have never first, brought up the waiting bell till the death do us part. Because you know, we'll take it and we'll run with that. And a whole lot of people today is playing on that. I'm going to tell you something now. My wife now, all she does for me, and as much as she loves me, if she had to face something that she couldn't understand, and if she had to face, like Job, she ended up sick, she ended up having boils or whatever all over her body. And she wants some relief. She wants some type of relief to her body, to where she won't feel the pain. She won't feel the agony anymore. What do you think I'm going to be thinking about? Here I am sitting over here, and she's talking about that. She's talking about that. She says, I'm still trusting God. I still have your baby. I know God's going to do something. I know that. I feel it within my bones. He's going to do it. I didn't even think that I am going to do it. I'm human. I feel like just like anybody else feels. But how am I going to feel about her and what she's going through? Yeah, I said, God, I thought you were God of love, and I know you're God of wrath. But it looks like right now, there's no love coming at all. Why are you attacking my wife? And see, he attacks. We say Satan attacks us. He does. He attacks us. But he has to go to the Father, where the Father can grant his permission for Satan to be able to attack one of us. And you know what that's for? To build up our faith. To build up our faith in Jesus Christ. Build up our faith in humanity. To build up our faith that we can go out here and we don't worry about what everybody else is going to say. We're just going to go ahead and do God's work. We're going to go ahead and we're going to do it in spite of the devil. We're going to go ahead and do it. And don't make what they call us fanatics if they want to. They call us these hell angels and all of that. They call us anything they want to. Don't make them do it. We need to stay on the firing line. We need to stay fired up with God. What churches today? Do you know any churches today that you can honestly say that is really on fire for God? Where souls are coming in and they're winning souls. And souls are being baptized. I don't know when the last time I did hear one. Where one individual came in and confessed that they was lost. They're lost and they need help. They need help. And that's what we are. We're supposed to be the emergency room for the people in general. We're supposed to be an emergency room. But we are not an emergency room. We're complaining people. Complain all the time. You said, preacher, don't put me in that group. I don't complain all the time. If you don't, you need to thank the good Lord. Because the day ain't ended yet. The day ain't ended yet. It says in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4, it says this: trust we not in the wealth. We're not trying the wealth. We're not depending on wealth. We're not depending on this and that and everything else. We're depending on God. And the reason we're depending on God, we're not depending on that dollar bill, is because God got it all. God has the bank and everything. So if anybody wants to say, how rich am I? What is hard? I'm going to be left me? Man, what are you talking about? I already got my heart and heart. It's already been signed, sealed, and it's going to be delivered unto me one day. When I go home and meet my Savior, when I go home and meet Him, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the saved, of the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these, Yahweh. For if ye thirdly sin your ways and your doing at your third execute victim between a man and his neighbor. The Lord that came to Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, Thou wilt stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim thou this word saying, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord God. What did he say? We're going to be able to enter in. We're going to be able to enter in that gate. And when we enter in that gate, because see, we're going to take the trip. You know who's going to be with us on the trip? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is going to be with us. Because when we leave out of here, Holy Spirit's going with us. So when the Christian, when after the rapture taking place, or the catching away taking the place, that means the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is not going to be anymore. That's the reason the scripture says they can't get saved after the rapture. Because the Holy Spirit's not here. The Holy Spirit's not here to convict. It took the Holy Spirit to convict us and to bring us to Jesus. And it took Jesus to save us, to guarantee us a home in heaven. And he said that I love you. And you're a friend. You're my friend. See, I was his friend. I mean, he was my student. I was his friend. When I was out here running around. When I was out here doing so many ungodly things. When I wasn't going to church. People, we make it so hard to do. We make coming to church so hard on people. And we shouldn't be hard on them. But we are. I don't know if I told you all now when I first come in. I said, the people come in here, they vote they need to paint the church or something like that. Or they need to put new carpet down. The carpet, going right in the middle of the aisle right there. From this side over here is one color. From that right there to the other side is another color. Have I got any complaints with God right there? Do I have to go to God and say, God, you know that's not right. You know it don't look good. Here it is, we've got purple over here, and then we've got lime over there. But you know what that is? That's not good. It don't look good in the church. That wouldn't even look good in my outhouse. But yet we'll get so upset about that. We'll get so upset about that. And we gotta talk about that, and we gotta have meetings about that for a month and a half, 2 months maybe. To where? We've got to get to the point where we can have all the carpet the same. It's not in scripture. If that's what you want to do, go to it. If you leave God's word to me, that right there don't save souls. That different color carpet don't save souls. His word is the one and the only thing that will touch the heart and bring them to Jesus. You know, things have enough. I'm just so thankful that when the Holy Ghost came and convicted my heart, and then he introduced me to Jesus. And then Jesus told me everything about me. Told me what had happened. Why he went to the cross. Why he was humiliated. Why they took his beard and yanked it from his face. And when they took him the thorns, the crown of thorns, and placed it up on his head, and then mashed it down. They mashed it down so blood would trickle down his face and trickle down his body onto the ground where lay. All of that. And then he hung on the cross. He had the Old Testament back in mind. He had the Old Testament back in mind. In the book of Deuteronomy, I forgot exactly what chapter it is. Please, when he say that, he said that thou shalt not a bone be broken from his body. And that was speaking about the Lord. Speaking about the Lord. It says, they're not going to break your bones. They're going to pierce your side. And they're going to pierce your hand. And they're going to pierce your feet. And they're going to pierce your eyebrow and everything. And it's going to be painful. But when they pierce your side, all that's going to come from you is going to be blood and water. In other words, it's going to be blood and the fluid that is in your body that sustains the other organs. That. Then I thought, oh man. Then the Holy Spirit will introduce us to God. He will introduce you to my Heavenly Father. To my granddaddy, my grandfather, my pop, my all in all. And then you will allow the Father of Heaven to take out his kingdom. And it dipped. It looked like some crimson ink. But it wasn't. It was the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He dipped that pen in the blood. And he signed my name back on that document back. Where as have other individual signs on the same document. I don't feel right about that. I don't feel right about going to heaven. Because it's preachers there. There's other people there. Non-preachers, non-ministers. Non-evangelists, they're there, and have done a whole lot more than I have. There's preachers there that look have mercy. If I just had a thimbleful of their knowledge and their wisdom, I'd be a man so blessed. But Job was blessed also. But really, when it comes right down to the end of it, Job had more, ended up with more than what he had before. He had more sons and more daughters. He had more land. He had more cattle. He had a larger home. And he had the individuals there that were willing to labor for him and to look after all of that. We don't even want to look after the church. We don't want to do nothing. Only thing we want to do is just come to church. Say, so, well, I've done my duty all week. I come to church. Hey, you know, God's tickled to death. God's glad you came to church. God's glad I come to church. And he will bless us for that. But what else are we doing? Are we doing anything for him to bring a blessing to him? Or do we want all the blessings ourselves? I believe it's a sucker. We want all the blessings. And we say to God, so God, you don't need the blessings. God, you can just bless anything you want to bless. You can bless yourself with anything. But he don't want that. He don't want the blessing from him. He don't want to go out here and be doing something that would show people that he is God. That he is God. No. He wants his people. He wants his children. He wants his daughters. He wants his sons. He wants his the children to come and speak out. Speak out for God. See, God's not here. You know that. God's not here. The Lord Jesus Christ is not here. The only one that I believe is here is the Holy Spirit. Because he's the Holy Spirit stays in my heart. Because he's the one who directs our path. But he gets his orders from the Lord Jesus. Then the Lord Jesus, he gets his from God the Father. Why don't we want to do something for all he's done for us? Why don't I want to just make myself go? If you get to the point that I can't walk, I mean, they got something now. I mean, they built a wheelchair. I mean, they even got the little scooters and everything that you drive. I mean, they got them so fancy, so flat up and everything. I mean, you get out here and you drive down the road, try to drive. You run 40 miles an hour if you want to. They got nothing. God has people doing things for you and me to get his word. what happened before the telephone ever come out? What happened? They visited. The families visited every other family. The farmers, they would go in and they would take care of the neighbor. If the neighbor got down sick and they had a harvest like that that had to be picked and everything, the neighbors would go in and pick and harvest what they had to harvest for their family and wouldn't charge them a dime. But here today, they come up to us, or somebody come to us and say, you know, Brother so-and-so's gone out. I tell you one thing. He's a good old soul. He's helped me more than I could ever believe. And he's helped you. He's helped everybody in the neighborhood. But he hasn't come to me. He probably hasn't come to you. Being a help. But if you did, come to me for help, or if you come to you for help, then I said, well, I'll have to be back with you this Sunday. You know, I'll have to be back with you. We'll be back Wednesday, maybe Thursday. First thing we're going to do, we're going to hire a lawyer. Second thing we're going to do, we're going to ask the lawyer to draw a paper for him to sign and for you to sign. And then, right after they sign the papers and everything, but then they got trustees, or they got somebody else that's going to come in and sign the papers too. For witnessing the action that's taking place. And then they wonder. They wonder why their business is not doing like so many other businesses are doing. Their business is doing nothing. And they're about ready to close up. If you take advantage of your people that is working for you, if you take advantage of them, then they deserve to be closed. Because they could not take advantage of the help that they have. Because see, it's not the man in the office. It's not the owner. It's not the vice president. It's not the superintendent. It's not the supervisor. That needs to be there. It is each and every one of the workers that works day in and day out, and they work in the heat like it is this past week. In heat like it. You think a supervisor, you think a boss man has been out, you think a owner of the company's come out and been out there on the floor? I don't think so. And I don't even know. But I doubt where it's they get on the floor. They don't stand in school. Why they don't stand in school? Then they don't have to sweat. They don't have to get hot. They don't have to get tired. But I tell you, weather like this, you don't have to do anything. Just walking out them doors will make them tired. See, we need to have faith. And when we take that faith, and we'll look at that faith in the way God looks at the faith. There's nothing. There's nothing that's under the sun that could hold this church back. Nothing in the sun. Here it is. July, and almost the end of July. We got about 4 months, 5 months left this year. We, and I believe God has put the test to us. I believe God has tested us. But I believe God's challenging us now. He says, I don't hear y'all pray. And y'all been praying for a long time. Y'all been praying for a long time, even before Brother Cooper passed away. You've been praying. You've been faithful in your prayer life. You've been faithful in what you believe. And to whom you trust, you've been faithful. So now, you come to me and you want me now to do something for the church. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for no individual. Do it for the church. And do it for that lost soul, Lord. Amen. That lost soul may walk through your door and hear the gospel from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they can come in. And they won't even stop at the first pew, second pew, third pew. Now, they'll come all the way to the front. They'll come to the altar. And they'll bow their head. And then somebody else will come up here and bow with them, start praying with them and everything, because they hear them up here sobbing and everything, because they are lost and they want to get saved. And then after they get saved, then what happens? The next service they'll come and they'll come up there and they'll get back on the altar. And what do we say then? We'll say, well, I told you we'd take it. Who would take it? No. You know why? Because that's the way we think. We don't realize what he's doing. If we realize what he's doing, we would think about something else. Because that individual could be up here weeping and crying over his wife that's lost. He could be up here praying for his children because his children are lost. He could be up here praying for his neighbor because his neighbor's lost. He could be up here praying for the lost souls that he knows he works with and everything. He could be up here praying for that. But no. What do? We want to hinder that. And you know what I mean? We will hinder it. We will hinder it. We need to obey the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. I thank you for all of us, Lord. Your love toward me. I don't understand why you love me that much. I don't understand why you love me or even think about me. And even when you're blessing me. I don't understand it. But I know you do. I know you do. And Lord, I do pray right now that you would grab each one of our hearts. You would have a heart to squeeze our heart, Father, where the juice will just come pouring out of our heart. And when the juice of the vine, the juice from your precious blood, will just pour from our heart. And then we all of a sudden start praying for people that we don't even know, that we have not even met. Only thing that we know anything about is the name. Only thing we know about is where they work at. The only thing we know about them is something that they've done wrong. Lord Jesus, I pray. Oh God, right now. Start with me, Lord. Grab a hold of my heart. Father, I just want to see some souls saved. I want to see some people come in. I want some people coming in and serving the Lord. I want some activity to happen here where the people will just come on in and we don't question what's going on. We're just thanking you for it. Lord, I pray for each one of these. These are here, some of your choice individuals on this side of the table. Lord, that you may bless them this week as they labor for you, either on a job, or are you just visiting a calling or doing what they can just to try to get people in church? If we don't do it, God, it's not going to be done. We can't depend on other churches. Because you're not speaking to the other churches right now. You're speaking to me. And the message you give me, Father, Father, if something needs to be changed in my life for this to come to pass, Lord, for this to happen, Lord Jesus, whatever it is, Lord, I pray, Father, that you take complete control of it. And Father, you show me. Lord, I don't know. It may be something about the leg reason. It's a reason. And Father, you're trying to show me that serving you, Lord. Father, we do thank you that you speak. And we love each and every one of them dearly. Father, I would do anything in the world for each one of them if I possibly can. But Father, I know you can. And I know that you will. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.